Blog Talk Radio.
In all things give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And know that all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Glorious and victorious day it is. This is the day that the Lord has made. We should all rejoice and be glad in it. And we should be on this miracle-making, melodious Monday. Yes, it is. March the 28th, 2022. Another day, another chapter in your book of life. What does your page reveal about you? Every day is another page in your book of life. We all are assigned to a book of life where the recordings of our events, our behavior, our responses, our level of activity relevant to our faith, our works, our indiscretions are all being recorded. And as Apostle Paul stated, that we are living epistles being read of men daily. Ask yourself, and I often ask myself, what does my report believe? And whose report should we believe? Whose report should our report reflect relevant to the content that's encased, that's publicized on our pages? It should report the work of the Lord, the kingdom of heaven. That's right, in our dialogue. And let me tell you something. If your page does not reflect your conviction, if it does not reflect your trueness of your faith, you need to perhaps reascribe to the publication and edit whenever needful and necessary. Because as a man thinketh, so is he. The way we think influences the way we feel. The way we feel from within, the internal standpoint, reflects our eternal destination. And we should keep those things in mind, that at any time we should let them slip. And sometimes it's very hard to remain focused, to remain on path and on your mission, where there's so many distractions, in the world, events in the world, where many of us are turning the pages in our news circulars, and we're looking at what's going on in the Ukraine. We're paying very careful attention to what's going on in Israel. We're looking at the state of the economy in the United States. We're tracking the actions of individual circumference within the community, within the political arena. Everybody is attaining focus in diverse areas in society. But Jesus told us, he told us that he is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So that lets us know that we must constantly keep in mind, keep in focus, keep polarity upon Jesus Christ as our Lord, because he should be the center of what we do on a day-to-day basis, despite what your area of career presence is, where you're orchestrating your gifts. God told us in his word that our gifts will make room for us. That means will make provisions for us. And see, when our gifts make room, God will occupy that room with blessings, with miracles, with great and wondrous works. And this is the reason why we stay in the lane in which God has stationed us. And we should constantly do that and make sure that we're maintaining the equilibrium and the integrity of where we've been placed, because he will allow us to blossom where we've been planted. See, if man plants you, he can uproot you at any time and transplant you elsewhere. But when God has rooted you and grounded you, no man can uproot you. And that's just the blessed assurance of knowing who God is, what he does, and what he will perpetually do. And I'm just thanking God on this glorious and victorious, melodious, miracle-making Monday to have us in a posture, in a position where we can administer the truth to you. And you know what Jesus said about the truth? Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And he that the Son has set free, he is free and free indeed. And never again, never again, the fullness of the Emancipation Proclamation, never again will he be confined to the yoke of bondage. No. When you come into the freedom and the movement of God's power and the omniscience and the omnipresence of his very spirit of where he dwells, for he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High, you will come to know that he is omnipotent, all-powerful, omniscient, all-knowing, and omnipresent at every place at every given time. You will be boundless. You will be endless. You will be limitless. You'll become, as Apostle Paul said, more than a conqueror than him that loved us. And we know John 3:16 said that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He wasn't taking, he gave it. When you give something, you submit it willingly, because mankind needs to be redeemed from his current state of sinfulness within his existence. And we're just thanking God today for all the gifts, all the privileges, all the blessings. Some of your blessings you haven't seen. It's not based upon what you feel. It's based upon what you know. God is working some miracles we haven't even seen made manifest in our lives yet. But he's working those miracles. And then when he had to put us in a corner and shelter us away from other people, the first thing that the flesh says, woe is me, we get the Jeremiah complex. Why am I being picked on? Why is it that nothing I attempt to do seems to flourish or prosper? Why is it that when I think I've met the people that are going to be an influential presence in my life and to accelerate me to the next level, they suddenly move away or disconnect or no longer are within my company? God is put us in places sometimes we don't understand. He's doing a work within us because he doesn't want us to be destroyed. See, some of us, if God doesn't push us in the corner and put us in another area where he can deal with us, where he can chasten us and remove certain elements of our inner character, we'll be self-destructive. So before God allows us to be self-destructive, oftentimes, he will isolate us. He'll put us in the isolation chamber. That means that nobody's calling. Nobody's coming by for a visit. Nobody seems to want to connect with me. No, it's not you. Don't get the complex of thinking there's something wrong with you. It's just something that God is doing within you. Don't fight it. Let go and let God. He knows what he's doing. We think that we know, but we have no knowledge of what it is that we think we know. Because you know something? I've seen it so many times, and I'm going to tell you something. Some great, miraculous events are happening in the invisible realm. See, when God, he thinks it, he speaks it, then it manifests. But it manifests within the elements of season. See, every season produces a different harvest. Did you know that? Well, this is a way to get your miracle-making week up and running. Did you not know that your life, my life, our lives, especially as those who are believers and those who are dearly beloved children who know that they're students in God's classroom, they're not masters of manipulation, but they're students learning. Don't you know that everything is orchestrated around season? That's right. There's a season of wealth, a season of prosperity and wealth all tangled within the elements of your life. There's a season of rebirth and regrowth in your life. There's a season of great manifestation of connecting with relationships in your life. And the number one is the first plateau, and this is it, is your relationship with God. I heard some people even say that my first love is my husband, my wife, my children. No, your first love is God, because he so loved us. We got to return that love. Our first love and our first focus is God, because Jesus said, who is my mother? Who is my brother? Who is my father? Who is my sister? They that do the work of him that sent me. Here is where we regard those who are connected with us. So God is our first love. And there comes a season for uprooting, removing, and reorganizing. So everything goes around season. You can't declare a season of love and relationship, but our love relationship with God is withstanding and ongoing. But I mean connecting with that significant other, building an elementation of trust with that significant other. And to those who have not had the opportunity to find, or to a woman to be found by your significant other, you can't expect that in a season where God says, I'm transforming your life. I'm taking things away from you that are harmful to you. You can try to force it if you want to, but you're going to come up empty-handed. So what we need to do is to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt us in due time. For he that exalteth himself shall prosper. Elevate. But he that exalteth himself shall be made abased. That means knocked down to the LCD, the lowest common denominator. And trust me to tell you, you don't want that. So be stable, be strong in the Lord, and in the power of his might, and know that God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all things that we're able to even ask or even think. And just know that. And let me tell you something. Don't you know that God has orchestrated a plan that nobody can understand? See, as high as the heaven is from the earth, it's God's ways from our ways, his thoughts from our thoughts. So therefore, we'll never figure it out, because he's already worked it out. And we're just praising and thanking God for you today. And I know that many of you said, we missed you yesterday. Let me tell you, I was on another assignment yesterday. And there's another thing, too. Seasons bring about assignments. What are assignments? Duties that need to be done within an elemental time frame or scheduled time frame. And you can try to go outside of that, but something's going to lack. Either your performance level or your level of expectation of the outcome of that assignment is going to be altered. So it's best to fit the role that you've been placed in at that moment. Sometimes ministry is not, this is something I need to say to you. I don't care whether you're here in the continental U.S. of A, whether you're in Canada, whether you're in South America, whether you're in Africa, Asia, Europe, Australia, even Antarctica. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty there. God's word does not altercate despite your geographical location. Because God, don't forget, he's omnipresent at every place and every given time because he's spirit. So that means we need to stop putting God in a religious format, because it does not work. It's not scripturally sound. It's not biblically based. It will never, ever work. He is a spirit, spiritual, which means that he's at every place and every given time. He is the masterful spirit. He is the sovereign spirit. You know, that came to me this morning as I was preparing my light breakfast, and it just came to me, he's the masterful spirit. And so therefore, the master always has the dominion over the masterpiece. The masterpiece is what's created from the master. That's right. Nobody else's hands can do it. That's right. I know when I said that, many of you are thinking about the Mona Lisa and Leonardo da Vinci. Well, that's okay. Well, he was the master of painting that portrait of Mona Lisa. That's right. So despite how many other duplications or emulations came out of the Mona Lisa, maybe various lithographs came out of the Mona Lisa, there was only one master who painted that portrait, and that was Leonardo da Vinci. So God is the authenticator of all living and non-living matter, whether it's on the terrestrial level, which means the territorial level of the earth, or whether it's in the celestial level. You know, there's three heavens. That's right. He yet is the master because he thought it, he spoke it, and it manifested. That's right. So he will always be masterful. And no matter where you are, you can reach out to God. You can talk to him. And through the righteousness of Jesus Christ, we have an advocate with the Father. That's right. Because understand, the reason why we had to have an advocate with the Father is because unrighteousness, sin, iniquity separated us. You see, God is a holy God. He can't look upon unrighteousness. So the only way he could reconnect back with us and that we could connect back with him, we had to have a high priest, a perfect high priest, who would stand in our place and act as our mediator. And there's only one mediator. Let me tell you something. I may offend some of you this morning, this afternoon, wherever your time zone is. It doesn't matter, but the truth is the truth. It does not altercate. There is no natural man that can stand in God's seat and ask for your forgiveness. There is none. There is no natural woman who can stand in God's to ask for you forgiveness. No, there's only one mediator, one high priest, and that is Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's right. He is the only one who can stand in our seat so that we can ascertain or obtain forgiveness. And God, when we ask for forgiveness through the name of Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, God can look upon us as his dearly beloved children because he sees us through the eyes of his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. And do you see how that works? See, if we understood truth, we wouldn't see people get caught up in cult practices. They get caught up in these false doctrines and would be led astray by every wind of doctrine. We would know that there's only but one Lord, one faith and one baptism. We know that. It will be embedded within us. Now, something is embedded within you, it cannot be diverted, dear. It becomes part of your psyche. And this is so very credible and so very important that we need to make sure that we keep this in a constant reminder state. We should be able to do what's called implement metacognition. You know, metacognition is the ability to reflect back on that which you have learned. It's like a storage and retrieval process. That's why something has been imputed within you, and your brain, your mind, is a living computer. It is, it's data capable. It's technologically innovative. Your mind, God gave you a mind so you could think, utilize logic, develop a plan, and implement that plan. That's why God gave us a mind. And that's the reason why Apostle Paul said, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. See, everybody can have a brain, but it doesn't mean you have a mind. Their brain is a biological provision and necessity. But a mind is the ability to use that biological necessity as a way of creating, developing, and implementing. God has this masterful design for humanity. That's right. And this is my slogan. We were all destined for greatness because we were designed for excellence. That's it. That's it. I had a few people ask me, when are you going to come out with some actual T-shirts, with some actual production saying this? It's coming. Again, seasons. We've got to work through the seasons. See, when I say I want to do it, it may not be the season which God wants me to do it. And I've got to the point now, and I don't know whether you have, but you need to do this. I ask God, is this the time right for me to do this? I want to do this, but is it the right time for me to do this? And God will send you a sign. It can be a visible sign or an invisible sign. An invisible sign means by the power of the Holy Spirit may speak to your being. You see, some people are so so void, they don't believe that the Holy Spirit speaks to them about their lives. Yes, it does. The Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you into all truth. This is what Jesus said. He said it. It has to be true. And I'm not angry. I'm just passionate because I just don't understand. All these people claim to be spiritual giants, but they don't believe in the power of the Holy Spirit ministering. There's something wrong with that equation. The Holy Spirit speaks what the problem is. We're not in tune to listen. We believe what man says. Who's the report you believe? Oh, I believe what Mike has to say. Let me tell you something. There's but one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. Anything outside of that is unconscionable. It's uncivilized. Don't believe that garbage. The Holy Spirit speaks, but the problem is we don't listen. And we go right into trouble. Tell me, oh, Lord, woe is me. Well, you should be, because you didn't listen to the Holy Spirit. We're going to get some divine interventions this week. I'm telling you, it's in my psyche, it's in my spirit. We're going to see some breakthroughs, the miraculous. It's going to come straight from heaven because we are concentrated and focused into the things of God. But start listening to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit doesn't tell you anything wrong. He leads you to guide you into all truth about your relationship. The Holy Spirit even speaks to us about our behavior. Uh-oh. The Holy Spirit speaks to us about our children. Yes, he does. The Holy Spirit speaks to us even about our relationships with others, whether they're personal or interpersonal. The Holy Spirit speaks. The Holy Spirit speaks to us about our actions. Do we listen? Oh, well, listen, we hear the Holy Spirit. See, hear means an automatic response of the audio sensory organ, which is the ear and the eardrum and all, everything that's associated with hearing. But the problem is we hear, but we don't listen. See, listening means you're not only hearing with the auditory sensory perspective, but you're registering the information and you're deriving a certain element of understanding or applicity, as we call it. This is what the Holy Spirit does. And this is what we're supposed to listen to the Holy Spirit. We hear, then we listen. Then we go into action. And remember what Jesus said, many is led by the Spirit of God. They are the sons of God. I'm a child of the Most High God. Well, start living like it. Start treating your life as though you are. And stop being so soundly independent, so morally applicable that you don't proceed to the fact that you need God. Because none of us are perfect. We're all living in glass houses. This is why this is so important. This is why you get these people that are self-inflated and become mega Christians, supermen and superwomen. There's no supermen and superwomen in the body of Christ. We're all joined to him. We are different members. This is your natural body has various members with different functions. The whole body can't say that I'm the brain, because guess what? You're the brain, but who's going to pick up the paper and write? Can the brain write? No, the brain can orchestrate the ability to put words into perspective, what we call them sentences, to ascertain what we call fluency. For those of us who teach or are familiarized with the ELA component, English language arts is what I'm saying, in the natural perspective, but the brain can think it, the cognition can fuel it, but we got to have some hands to write what the brain has registered as credible language or as a fluent sentence, okay? So we got to have fingers, okay? And can the fingers in the brain work and then say, okay, now here comes publication time. Wait a minute. Who's going to do the publication time? You've got to have feet to go to the publication office. Or if you're going online, you still got to get up, get your technological device or platform to be keyed in so you can connect even on the technology database. So there's diverse members of the body. Each performs a different function. The brain can't say to the fingers, I'm better than you, or to the hands, I'm better than you. The hands and the fingers can't say to the feet, I'm better than you. We're all equilateral, housed in one body. Diverse functions, different members. That means everyone is important in the body of Christ. And when we understand something, are we abiding in the body of Christ? Are we truly concentrate upon the true church. Get your mind off these bricks and mortar statues. That's not the true church, honey. The true church, you cannot join it by writing your name on a roll. No, that's not the true church. You have to be born into the true church, and that's an invisible body. And Jesus said, except a man be born again of the water and of the Spirit, he can in no wise inherit the kingdom of God. Why? Because that which is flesh is flesh, that which is spirit. Marvel not, you must be born again. So this is the true church. And when you receive the water baptism and the infiltration of the Holy Spirit, the perfect teaching, the guiding teaching, the very elementation of Jesus Christ in you, you are truly born again. It has nothing to do with a brick and mortar building. That's just a pathway that some of us can become to the knowledge of receiving a new birth. But that's not the church. He's not coming back. He's not looking at a building. He's looking at the temple. You and I are the temple. And this is why Apostle Paul said, he that defileth the temple of God, him shall God destroy. He wasn't talking about that building. That building's been perfect. Despite how many millions of dollars are spent on natural brick and mortar establishments, the weather can get too cold, the temperature in the building can get too low, the pipes can burst. See, that's not what he's coming back for. That's why he doesn't want these natural buildings. They're imperfect, despite how well the cessation system is in the building. There can be a thermal backup where things are not flushing out through the main drain and the floor drain properly. You've got a plumbing issue. The building is not perfect. The building that he's coming back for is the temple. We got to keep the temple swept and clean. That means we have to make sure we check ourselves, not only periodically, but on a daily basis, so that we're fit and meet for the master's use. That's a very unusual way we're going into this week, but we just thank God for his blessings and all of his miraculous interventions. And let me tell you something, this is going to be a glorious and victorious weekend. If, as the Holy Spirit leads us, we're going to be coming to you daily. Yay! And at time we call high noon, 12 o'clock. Some people refer to high noon as 1 o'clock. Doesn't matter, because wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty there. And there's a word of encouragement. And I must ask the question, because we've got a few minutes, but we're going to come back. Don't get sad, get glad, because we're going to come back again on tomorrow. High noon. And I was asked a question. I'm going to definitely make sure I answer this question concerning spirituality. I got a request to address the area of what is spirituality, and that this person had got caught up in the area of associating with people who she felt were taking her in the wrong direction. And I'm going to in part give you a word of encouragement. Study the word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That's number one. Number two, be led by the power of the Holy Spirit. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Number three, do not institutionalize or promote man-made worship. This is how people end up getting engaged and caught up into cult practices. And the bad part is that when people get caught up into cult practices, they end up psychologically starved, spiritually shipwrecked, unbalanced, inharmonious, and left with a scar far beyond what the natural eyes can see. Any organization that builds up, and I want you all to hear this, I don't care where you are, any establishment that focuses upon a physical leader, whether it be male or female, and it imputes what this man or this woman has said as being the whole truth, nothing but the truth, and cannot be challenged, you're in the wrong location. You need to remove yourself. Because let me tell you something. There's only but one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. Anything outside of that is unheard of. Apostle Paul said, if an angel came and preached unto me any other doctrine, he said, I let that angel be accursed. These people with these man-made doctrines and these organizational structures, that's not of God. These are confines meant to bind people to organizations to enforce and impute man-made servitude. Don't go for it. Get out of it. And if you're in an organization, I'm not just talking to this young lady. I'm talking to anyone. I don't care what continent you're on, what city you're in. Do not put yourself in a position where you can be harmed. We think all harm is just physical. Some people are harmed internally. Some people get so broken through these cult practices and these establishments, they never recover. They remain doubtful disputers of the faith. They never come back. Don't charge God with what man has done. Because Jesus warned us. He said, in the last days, there's going to come false prophets and false teachers. They're nothing but ravening wolves in sheep's clothing. He told us, no, don't follow them. Apostle Paul even said, try the Spirit, by the Spirit, see whether it be of God. How you try the Spirit by the Spirit? By looking at the Word of God and reflecting upon the actions of that establishment. See, number one, we're already in the church. Let's organize this, first of all. When you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and you receive the baptism, not only of the water, but of the Holy Spirit, you're automatically in the church. So listen, I got to go join the church. No, you're already in the church. You can't join it. You got to be born into it. Once you're born into the church, you are eternally secure. God has you registered in the Lamb's Book of Life. See, our Book of Life and the Lamb's Book of Life is something different. We're already registered. What you have to do is you now, after receiving the new birth, have to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. That means you've got to walk it. You've got to talk it. Sometimes you might have to walk it when you're crying. Sometimes you've got to talk it when you came here and nobody encouraged you. You've got to depend on God to be your source of inspiration. And then after this, we're to do the works of Jesus. We're to speak words of encouragement. We're to lay hands on the afflicted. Sometimes you lay hands on the afflicted in the natural, and sometimes you lay hands on them in the spirit realm. Remember Jesus, oh my God, Lord of lords and King of kings, his shadow could just pass, and the healing would take place. Just the mention of his name. Sometimes we can't get to people physically, but in the spirit realm, we can just speak the name of Jesus. And there's something about the name of Jesus. Every knee must bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. And intercession has been made through his name. It's not, and again, it's please get this right. It's not about us, people. It's about his power We have this treasure in an earthen vessel. We're earthen vessels. We're limited. Earthen vessels can crack at any moment. Earthen vessels can actually gather dust and become non-reusable. So therefore, what's inside of the vessel is what makes the vessel noteworthy. And so this is the reason why we must constantly impute the truth. But we have the ability to do this in the name of Jesus, not about personality. This is another way that people get caught up into cults. And we're developing our Exodus group. We're going to be coming soon in God's time, not our time. See, I might tell you June. The Lord may tell me not until September. I'm going to follow the Holy Spirit. I don't have to understand. Who am I that I got to ask? Well, why not? No, it's about God. It's about getting people back to where they need to be. So we don't hear about another Georgetown incident or Jonestown incident, I'm sorry, that we never, ever see anything like that again. That was one of the most horrific things in the area of self-professed Christianity. And it was self-professed because this man had fell by the wayside. But see, people who did not know the word of God, who did not reach into the realm of the Holy Spirit and listen to the Holy Spirit, they feel victim. We don't want to ever see anything like that happen again. That's fine. Because we, and then the gateway establishment where this man had the people putting on certain attire, then committing suicide. See, these people were searching for a God, but then they were not searching for a relationship with the only God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Yahweh, Jehovah, the Almighty. God, creator of the universe. They got sidetracked because they allowed a man to manipulate them. And you know something? A lot of people say, well, they were dumb, they were stupid. No. Because if Satan transformed his ministers into angels of light, if it were possible, are you listening to me today? I hope you are. If you're not, you're just missing out. If it were possible, he would deceive the very elect. Do you think the enemy is supposed to present himself with a hard-looking face and with bold, audacious words, yelling at people, screaming at people, defaming people? No. He's going to want to lure people in. Soft-spoken, kind, willing, approachable. Get you in. Got to get you in. When Eve was deceived of the serpent, this is another person. They understand the serpent. He says, oh, a snake, one of her? What was wrong with her? No. A serpent is a seductive creature. Smooth operator. He spoke to Eve what Eve wants to hear at that moment. And that's how a lot of people get caught up into cult practices, cult behaviors, cult establishments, and become prisoners of these establishments because they speak what they want to hear. They seem to be in touch with everything that's going on in their life. And these people get excited. They get exuded. Because the first thing they say, nobody ever told me that before. And this is what happened with the serpent. He spoke to Eve. And he appeased to Eve's desire for power, for knowledge, for the ability to be masterful. And that is what happened. And as a result, he got in her hand, so he was able to get within her heart. And the rest was just like history, like a cakewalk. And this is what cults do. So if you need to break free, you need to call out. Call out to the name of Jesus and ask him to strengthen you according to his word and give you the masterful ability to break free of this establishment. And if you are trusting him for your deliverance, and at the same time, you need to do some work yourself. You need to establish a more in-depth relationship with God. And as much as you gain a relationship with God, the more you're going to peel off the manipulation, the more you're going to peel off the infiltration, the more you're going to pull off the negativity, the better you will become. And then you, as a result of your deliverance, will be a testimony to someone else. But get out of there. Get out of there before the worst case scenario happens, because it's been people in the world so capable of getting out of those establishments. And it's sad because they give the Christian walk a negative reflection. And this is not Christian. These people are not Christians. They're charlatans. They're looking to get over by taking other people under. And it's just so frustrating to me. And I'm going to make sure that I go into my email that come in and every broadcast, I'm going to attempt to answer a question. I'm not going to give out names because you don't do that. People are trusting you with words that they're sharing for themselves. You don't put them on public platform and blast them. That's ridiculous. I'm keeping it confidential. I'm giving you insights, and know that you can always reach out to me by way of my email address or either inbox me here at Blog Talk Radio. You can do either one. But I'm not going to put people on public blast. And when we develop the Exodus group, we're not going to put people on public blast. They want to give them their names as a Lady B or Mr. P or whatever the initials are. They don't want to give a name at all. They just want to state their experience and ask for help. We're going to help them. That's right. And because you know something, many of us came from the same background, whether we want to admit it or not. Some of us were scarred spiritually, but God, through his loving kindness, tender mercy, and perpetual compassion, delivered us. I was delivered so that I could pray deliverance for you. That's right. I've been tested so that I could be a testimony for you. And this is what we're about, building the soldiers for the army of the Lord, because we got to stand up. God has insurrected us as prophets and prophetess, as teachers, as leaders, some as pastors, some as workers of miracles, and some of us are multitasked in this particular assignment. We got to fulfill that assignment. We want our lives to be blessed, our bodies to be healthy now and remain healthy, protection, divine favor. We got to walk in the way of obedience. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for every listener that tuned in today, Lord, words of encouragement, words of strength, words of enforcement, Lord. We're asking that you continue to bless and to prosper they that desire you, Lord. For, Lord, you said, in those who desire you, they will not want, which means lack, any good thing. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for just being God. And besides you, there is none other. We're asking that you bless, anoint, and help us to along our way, Lord, that you continue to flourish us and abound us in every good work. As we glorify your name and we speak words of truth, Lord, if we've offended any, Lord, we're asking that you forgive us, Lord. For the same who asks for forgiveness is deemed as a man that desires perfection. But we're imperfect people that desire a relationship with a perfect and almighty God. And we thank you, Father God, for your loving kindness, for tender mercies. Continue to bless us and prosper us this week, Father God. And we continue on in our way. Lord, you said with long life, will you satisfy us, Lord? And you told us to delight ourselves in you, and you will give us the desires of our heart. Touch, heal, and make whole. In thy blessed Son, Jesus Christ's name, amen and amen. I just want to say this scripture before we go off the air and we come back to you tomorrow. It's praise ye the Lord, Psalms 111. Praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great, thought out, of all them that have pleasure therein. His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endureth forever. He hath made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He hath given meat unto those that fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. He has shown his people the power of his work, that he may give them the inheritance of the heathen. The works of the Lord's hands are verity and judgment. All his commandments are sure. They stand fast forever and ever, and are done in truth and uprightness. He sent redemption unto his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverent is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. Be blessed. Have a glorious and victorious day. And we'll see you again high noon tomorrow from Manna Speaking. You got your host, Abby A. Felton is the Motor City Mile. Ronnie saying, in all things give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Be blessed, and we'll see you on tomorrow. Oh, yeah.